Were Old Testament saints eternally secure? That fantastic question came in from a listener just like you, and it's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. As you know, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions looked at by sending us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, this one promises to be an interesting one, so let's get right to it with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the program. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
Did you hear that Joe Rogan, the
UFC guy,
right? Yeah. He just signed a $100 million contract because he has his podcast that a lot of people listen to.
Are you kidding?
$100 million on Spotify. I think we should
hold out.
Well, I'm wondering who's going to offer us that money.
How about $100?
Yeah, I'll take $100. Yeah, exactly. But we're doing these Q&As, and I know that we've had such a great response to our podcast.
I know it.
It's not a $100 million response, but it's more of a spiritually uplifting response. Because I know people are listening, and they're hearing things they've never heard before, and the Bible is being made clearer to them. But it's also raising lots of questions.
Yeah, and I'm just obviously kidding about the money, because we are both paid, Sean and I, through the Ministry of Grace Evangelical Society, and we appreciate everyone who is supporting this ministry, both the radio ministry directly and also our ministry generally. And up until now, it's been general gifts to the ministry that support this, because we're not yet anywhere near the radio listening audience supporting what we're doing or coming close to it.
Right.
We urge those who are listening, if you like what you're hearing and you feel like it's a blessing, well, then you can invest in this ministry, which is really a spiritual investment.
People have been so faithful. I mean, they're so faithful in their giving, and I so appreciate being able to do this, because I kind of see us as, I was reading about Soren Kierkegaard, you know, the famous Danish philosopher, theologian, and he saw himself as a missionary to Danish Christendom. He knew everyone kind of identified as a Christian, but he also knew that something was deeply wrong with their faith and experience. And so he wanted to reach the Christians in Christendom with what he understood to be the gospel. And I kind of see us as missionaries to Christians, cultural Christians to Christendom, to help them understand the grace message.
Right. I've often commented on this, that most evangelicals need evangelizing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so we want to talk to people who are Roman Catholic. We want to talk to people who are Eastern Orthodox. We want to talk to people who are from the cults. We want to talk to people who are from work salvation denominations or lordship salvation groups. We want to talk to all these people, because now we realize some of these people are born-again people who've lost their way and have now no longer have assurance and no longer are clear. But many of them have never come to faith. Either way, we need to talk to these people about the great promise that the one who believes in Jesus has everlasting life.
Right.
And it's not about us cleaning up our lives, because that's what the cross is about. He took care of the sin problem.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm with you. We're not only, of course, our radio program is designed to reach born-again people and influence born-again people, but if an unbeliever happens to listen, if you're here today and you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, this program can help you too. That is one of our secondary aims, is that if an unbeliever were to hear this, that they would learn that everlasting life is just a free gift, and it's not received by works, but it's received by faith.
Right, absolutely. So being missionaries to Christendom, that's kind of how I see this program, at least.
So should I call you Soren?
Yeah, Soren. I really wanted to name Zane, my son Zane, Soren.
Oh, but you're kidding.
But Abby was having none
with
of
the
it.
Middle name of Kierkegaard?
Yeah. Kierkegaard means churchyard, by the way. But anyways.
Oh, Kierk. Yeah.
All right, here's a question from Star. Let's start.
I forgot we were doing questions, yeah.
This is a question from Star. And Star is thinking about how Christians insult each other. And this whole idea of insulting each other.
Okay.
And Star says, I'm currently investigating the seemingly harsh name-calling from Jesus. For example, using fox to refer to Herod, brood of vipers to refer to the Pharisees. I do know that the Pharisees aren't really that good, especially with how they treat others. I also know that the Pharisees have a huge problem with their self-righteousness. But I'm just wondering, how is that name-calling not sin? And why can't I use Jesus' example to justify myself when I'm name-calling other people? So is name-calling a sin, and is Jesus enabling sin, I guess?
Well, I think that's a great question, and I think one thing we know is that Jesus is God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So
right.
Jesus is with God the Father, and he himself is Theos. He himself is divine. He
yeah.
is also God, not the same as God the Father, but there's a Trinity. And as God, he cannot sin.
Right.
Therefore, when he calls someone a fox,
right.
it's not sin. When he calls someone a whitewashed sepulcher,
yeah.
it's not sin. When he calls people any, whatever he would use, whatever expression, what was the other one she used for the Pharisees?
Brood of vipers.
Oh, the brood of vipers, right. That's not sin. It's one thing to give an accurate description of people that would not be pleasing to them.
Yeah.
But that is ultimately designed for their good.
Right.
Ultimately, if Herod responded properly to what Jesus said, he would have come to faith.
Right.
If the Pharisees responded to Jesus calling them a brood of vipers, they would have been born again. And, of course,
right.
some Pharisees were.
Right, yeah, they did come
some
to faith.
Some did come to faith.
Yeah, like Nicodemus.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, and same thing, probably Joseph of Arimathea.
Yeah, but we are told that some of the Pharisees believed. That's,
right.
That's a quote. Okay, what do you think about this? Jesus' name-calling, I kind of understand it as part of his role as being a judge. His role is to judge. He's going to judge the world.
I like this.
And so the name-calling is part of that. He's not only sinless, but he's also omniscient. That's part of his deity, too.
Right. And he's also just. And part of justice is you judge.
Right.
But you judge rightly.
Right. And so he's judging rightly. Now, you and I, if we ever name-call people, and we try to avoid doing that, but I know a lot of Christians don't.
Right,
a lot
right.
of Christians thrive on name because they see Jesus doing it, and they're like, I'm going to call everyone I disagree with by these names. We don't have omniscience. We don't have that sinlessness. We don't have that righteousness. So I personally would hesitate to name call people like that because I'm not in a position to judge other people the way Jesus is.
Right. That's a good point.
Now, we are supposed to exercise discernment and discipline within the church.
Right.
But if you're disciplining someone within the church, I mean, are you name-calling them? Is name-calling a part of that process?
Well, no, but if you think of the book of Galatians, Paul is most emotional, most angry in that book, and his remarks toward the Judaizers are not nice.
No, he calls them to emasculate themselves.
Right.
So that is really
Instead
rough.
Instead of just circumcision, yeah.
Just go the whole way.
Right.
I think and that's in the Bible.
I think that's 5:12, I think, or 4:12. Yeah.
But again, he's saying that under the inspiration of the Spirit. This is part of Scripture. This is part of his prophetic witness against this sin, this perversion of the gospel. I'm not in a position to do that. I would hesitate to name call like that. I think if I did it, it would probably come out of the wrong place. It would probably come out of anger. For me, it would be a sin. But for Jesus, it's not a sin. And for Paul, speaking prophetically like that, kind of as a prophetic, an inspired critique of these gospel perverters, it would be appropriate. But I'm not sure. Not for
I like
me.
Your caveat. For the Lord to do it works because he's the perfect judge. For us to do it, we risk getting impure motives in there, a desire to hurt people rather than help them.
Yeah.
Or a desire to exalt ourselves and make us look good in comparison.
Right,
so
right.
I like your point, and I think this was a terrific question.
Now, here's a question from Jenna. And she says, I heard a preacher say that while church-age believers are eternally secure, people from other ages are not. Is that true? And how would you argue that all believers are eternally secure?
Well, no, it's not true. And the way I would argue it is the saving message has never changed. In other words, the same way in which Adam and Eve were born again, or Abraham, or Moses, or David, or Elijah, or Elisha, or the apostles, The same way all of these people have been born again is the way we're born again during the church age, and it's by faith in Messiah apart from works. Now, it is true that prior to the ministry of Jesus, there wasn't as much clarity in terms of how the Messiah guarantees the eternal destiny of those who believe in him. It was clear in the Old Testament he did, but exactly how that worked out, the cross of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, even though all that's in the Old Testament, it's all prophesied. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 makes the point it's according to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures.
Right.
The Old Testament did teach that, but not everybody in the Old Testament necessarily grasped that.
Yeah.
What they did have to grasp, be born again, is by faith in Messiah they had everlasting life. And
right.
So that is the principle. What was the question again?
So maybe we can say something like, what God gives believers in any age is eternal life, everlasting life. And everlasting life is everlasting in any age.
And they know they have it. I mean, if you think of Job 19:25, I know my Redeemer lives, and one day I will walk with him on this earth in my flesh.
Right.
He knows he's eternally secure. All of the Old Testament prophets knew they were eternally secure. But Jesus said, John 8:56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And if you read Hebrews chapter 11, it's clear these Old Testament saints were looking forward to being in the kingdom. They knew it was guaranteed.
A city built by God.
Right. That's what Abraham was looking for.
Right.
Moses was looking for a reward. And you have all these examples. And so they were eternally secure. The idea that you had some different way of being born again in the past by being faithful, and now it's simply by faith, well, that would make God unfair. Then all of a sudden, one day, the message shifted, and if you died, certainly there were people who died the day before the church age began, right?
Right.
Well, if they had lived two more days, they could have been born again by faith and no way to lose it, but they died then.
Yeah,
oops,
yeah.
Too bad.
Interesting. That's an interesting thought. Well, I hope that answers your question, Jenna, and thank you for sending your questions. We love hearing from you guys. We love being encouraged by you. We love being challenged by you. Keep on sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to do something that I think is going to be very helpful. We're going to talk about some useful Bible study tools, so don't miss that episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.